This is the Territory Story Podcast News Bites. Thanks to Opie Dennis Digital Marketing, your local digital marketing agency.
Yes, hello, welcome. This is the Territory Story Podcast News Bites. I'm Peter Gowers. Hope you're having a great week. Let's get to the NT Independent online newspaper now and chat with Chris Walsh, the editor. Walshy, how are you?
Hey, I'm good, Pete. Good to see you again.
Good to see you too. We record this episode and it's as though you have some sort of prophetic capabilities, because when we went to air on the weekend edition last week, you said this has happened and charges are likely to be laid against this MLA, and suddenly by Friday it had all happened.
Well, it had all kind of come out, and the party was saying a little bit more about what was going on with Josh Burgoyne, but we still didn't have a lot of the details. Even then, look, I got to apologize. I think we got something wrong last time when I said it was Adelaide. The night that that was happening, those were the details we had, that the crash had occurred in Adelaide. But in fact, we found out then that it was actually in Alice Springs back on August 26th of last year. Burgoyne is alleged to have failed to give way at an intersection, and he crashed into a car, sending two healthcare workers to hospital with injuries that we've heard, you know, may include broken bones. So it sounds like it was a pretty serious crash. The party was saying by Friday morning that that his pregnant wife, I think she was 38 weeks pregnant, they said, was with him in the car at the time. But that was it. It was still really sketchy details on exactly what was going on. And then, but that didn't stop Labor from coming out and talking all about it.
No, of course not. However, we still are a little perplexed by the whole situation, because for some reason, the CLP leader decided to not grace us with their presence and discuss this.
Well, yeah, Pete, look, that's what we were saying last Thursday night, was that this is one of those things that, you know, you want to get on the front foot with. You want to get out there and explain to the public what's gone on, that there's been a collision, a crash. Look, they call it an accident, but like I said, accident infers that there's no blame, where the police were clearly indicating that they thought that he was to blame and the charges would be coming. So, but yeah, no, look, they just went silent. They went silent all weekend even on it. You would think that even, I think everyone expected Friday that Burgoyne would at least front up and say what had happened and explain to the public, but he remained silent, and so did Leah Finocchiaro, and all through the weekend. Then on Monday, Burgoyne comes out, he makes a brief statement saying that he's now been charged with careless driving causing serious harm, and that that's all he can say. He doesn't take any questions. He just says that, you know, there was an accident, he keeps calling it, and that he didn't know anything until earlier last week. He said at some point early last week, police had told him that he could expect to be charged. Now, that gets a little weird too, right? The timing of all of that. And then, you know, when the story comes out Thursday night, did Labor know? What did Labor know about it? Were they leaking this stuff? Anyway, yeah, so he then gets charged on the Monday morning. He makes that statement, that's it. And then Leah Finocchiaro finally comes out on Tuesday, but she won't say who in her office made the call not to inform the public about this car crash. And that's pretty critical, because this is really where they kind of mess this up and look like they were hiding something. Now, Burgoyne, as we recall, back in August, was sittings at the end of August, and he was doing it via computer, some video hookup there. He wasn't in Parliament, but at no time did he tell anybody other than Leah, apparently, about this incident. And then it was, the question was directly put to Leah, why didn't you tell anyone? And she said that they didn't have any more information about it, though that's not true, because all the people would have wanted would have been the facts. Here's what happened. There was this crash and everything. She was asked who made the call not to notify the public. She said, this is a conversation between Josh and I as friends. And again, my only concern was about the welfare of the people involved, she said. I mean, particularly Lisa, who was 38 weeks pregnant at the time. Finocchiaro said Burgoyne remains an incredibly important member of the team and would not be taking any reduction in roles or duties while the matter proceeds through the courts. She also ruled out sacking Burgoyne from her front bench if he is convicted of the charge, and shot down questions about the issue of a potential member with a conviction. She said, what we've got is someone involved in a car accident. Ultimately, the court process will take place. I think people need to practice critically think through this situation, really an ordinary situation that happens in people's lives, unfortunately. Again, Labor have done a very good job of distracting on this. So, it was just weird. But the other thing, Pete, that she couldn't remember, she said, is what day they learned that the police may be looking at charges. She couldn't recall if that was Tuesday or Wednesday, which is a little odd.
Are we to think this is some sort of a political strategy, not talking about these sorts of things? And are they somewhat confused that they're in government by taking this strategy on?
Yeah, exactly. That would be more of a thing. You think just as a member, he would have come out and said something instead of letting this kind of fester and become an issue that they that Labor could cause or try and score some political points on, to, you know, on the same week and the timing of all of that, when, you know, opposition's hammering Chancey Paik over his decision to purchase shares in that liquor wholesaler just 2 months before the grog bans were lifted. They were getting some mileage in the, and Labor seemed to want to turn that into a story about integrity in the opposition as well. Which, of course, those two things are completely separate. I mean, you've got a minister buying shares in a company, breaching the ministerial code of conduct. You've got another MLA who's in opposition getting involved in this car crash. But again, I guess by not talking about it, it just made people think that the CLP is no better than the government and that they're hiding things, being secretive when they didn't need to be.
Yeah, I've got to say, this is another piece of Peter's unwanted advice and unasked for advice. But lesson I've learned in life is that you can go and try and trick people, or you can leave out bits and pieces of the facts, or you can flat out lie. But when you actually tell the truth, it's an amazingly freeing experience. And my experience is that the receivers of that truth are often far more giving and lenient once they know, you know, what the actual truth is. So I just find it amazing when politicians lie when they just don't need to.
Yeah, and you're absolutely right. And I think he would have got some sympathy for this too from people once they heard the details of what he would say had happened. I guess we'll find out everything when it goes through court now. One of the things that I still don't understand was that the information we got on Thursday was that he was going to appear in court on March 4th. And the question then became, well, was he charged or not charged? But there was something about March 4th, and we put it in the story. And then lo and behold, when he finally gets charged on Monday, sure enough, he's in there. He's scheduled to be in court on March 4th in Alice Springs local court to answer to the charge. So I guess we'll see what happens there. I think that, yeah, that Leah probably still needs to explain why they didn't come out and say anything, and who in her office made that call to keep it secret, because it's really dumb.
Yeah, what it also tells me is just how much power the NT Independent wields in the territory, actually setting the court dates.
Yeah, like I said, I don't get how that happened. But anyway, yeah, look, the whole thing, you know, the more we kind of piece things together, there's something's going on here that I don't think we all know about just yet. And of course, you know, Labor capitalized on that. I don't know what Labor's game was. I know that they were trying to throw some dirt on the CLP because they were getting too close to hammering their attorney general too much. But, you know, they then put him up on the week that was there, and Chancey, and he starts going after Burgoyne, where he has no credibility to be doing that. It was very odd. It was very odd. And then Potter, of course, came out and had to, Don Jr. came out and said a few things.
Yeah, he did. And that was interesting. The article that I read on the NT Independent related to the lady of the moment, Robin Lamley, has now reported sent information to the ICAC to have the police minister looked into over comments he may or may not have made. And I'm referring, of course, to Minister Potter, who may also find himself a career down the track in staring off into the future.
Yeah, that's right, Pete. He does what he does, I guess. And then we'll get into that in more detail on the weekend, because there's some things that he said that were just so stupid this week. But yeah, no, you're right. So Robin Lamley did refer him to the ICAC. Now, this is over allegations she's made that he's attempted to influence the police investigation into Burgoyne by making public comments that an independent MLA, well, that Robin says could be seen as a breach of the separation of powers, and ultimately misconduct. She said that his comments had the effect of publicly preempting or speculating on the outcome of a police investigation, potentially influencing its determination. And then we actually spoke to a law and politics professor at the University of Queensland, Graham Orr. He concurred that the police minister's comments combined with other comments from Attorney General Chancey Paik may have given, quote, the unwanted impression of pressuring investigators. You know, it's quite unusual that Lamley says, every member of parliament knows you never provide commentary on ongoing police investigations or court cases. And here you have the Attorney General and the police minister deliberately attempting to prejudice and interfere in Burgoyne's police case. That was in relation to, on Friday, Potter come out at a press conference and he said the Burgoyne's incident involved, quote, serious allegations and alleged criminal offending, and the police had been investigating for a long time. He said driving dangerously causing harm does and can carry a prison sentence. What's happened to Josh Burgoyne is alleged criminal behavior that may make him a criminal or potentially see him in prison if it goes to court. And then Burgoyne was formally charged 3 days after those comments were made. So a little interesting.
Amazing how knowledgeable they were about what can happen when you cause a car crash for people in the other party, but for their own party, not so clear on what happens when there's a car crash.
Well, yeah, if you're referencing Manuel Brown.
Yeah, our old friend.
We're going to talk about that some more, I think, on the weekend, because it was really strange. That was brought up finally with Potter on Tuesday, I think, and he's made some allegations again that weren't true in relation to Brown and what Brown's done. Because remember, the Labour Party never said that Manuel Brown killed a woman with his car when they announced him and that he had a driving conviction. In fact, they covered it up, and it was only through our reporting that came out. And then they pretended like he was proud of it or something, that he went around and said that he had done it, he had accepted responsibility, that he had provided first aid at the scene at the time in 2009 when that crash occurred, which was not true. Just, it was a flat out lie, because we spoke to the eyewitness and the son of the woman he killed who was there, who said, no, he didn't do that, he's lying. And so the party just lied about that, and they think that's fine. Anyway, look, yeah, as far as this complaint, though, that Robin had put through, some of the other comments, I think it was just around Potter saying all of these things, and then about, I suspect police were investigating over that period of time, 6 months. He says, I know nothing more than the public does. But what I can tell you is, if police have been investigating that whole time, there would have been back and forward conversations between police and Burgoyne. And so, you know, you start wondering, like, well, how much does he know? And, you know, Katie Wolfe had asked him, you know, what needs to happen here as the Minister for Police? and he had said, you know, that Burgoyne should have issued a media statement saying how he'll work with police, and he didn't do that. What Chancey had said too was, He kind of got into the, then unlaid charges were serious, that they carried a jail term. So Professor Graham Orr had said that, not likely to give rise to contempt of court charge or taint a fair trial, but the comments made the ministers holding key roles in government was concerning. He said they're entitled to frame claims about an MP's hypocrisy or consequences of hypothetical charges, but coming from an attorney general and police minister, heated rhetoric alongside references to seriousness and length of investigation could create an unwanted impression of pressuring investigators. So then we asked Potter. He said, in no time did I reflect on whether Burgoyne was guilty or innocent during either of these media events on Friday and Monday. He said, I had to come out and talk. I answered journalist questions because the leader of the opposition has refused to answer questions as to why this incident was hidden from Territorians for 6 months. And he would not talk about Lamley's referral to the ICAC at that point. And Lamley said, look, these two would embarrass themselves. I don't even understand why the party would put them out, knowing their positions as police minister and attorney general. They really should not have been anywhere near that. And it was clear then that Labour was using this as a political attack to kind of undermine the CLP after the week that they got hammered over Chancey Paik. But there's a lot more going on here, Pete. Like, there's a lot more to get into that we can discuss a bit more and in better length on the weekend.
Sounds good. And if you're at a loss to know what I meant when I said that Minister Potter could get a job staring off into the future or into the distance, have a look at the photo on the NT Independence website and you'll know what I'm talking about. Chris, I'll catch you on Weekends with Walshy.
Great. Thanks, Pete. We'll see you then.
That was Chris Walsh from the NT Independent. Chris, we'll be back again on the weekend with Weekends with Walshy. That'll be released around 7 a.m. Saturday morning. And we'll catch you again next week on the Territory Story podcast News Bites.
That was the Territory Story News Bites for this week. Thanks to Opie Dennis Digital Marketing, your local digital marketing agency.